Good afternoon. Well, when I'm given the topic, the first thing I do, which I did this time, is start looking up words that deal with that topic. And I started looking up purity. And then the Lord stopped me and said, hey, you know, come to me and, you know, let's go into prayer. And so I did that. I said, Lord, teach me. So let's do that now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this week, Father, of your teaching, of you slowing down my heart, slowing down my mind, slowing down my soul, Lord, and humbling me through some situations during this week, Lord, to show me your word, Father. Show me something about myself, about those around me, and about your word, about your son, Jesus Christ, about those who went before me, Father, and those around me now all over the world, Lord, and what they're going through. Father, I thank you for the study that we've been through, studying about you, Lord, and how you have created us into a new image, Father, and we are being sanctified and formed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I ask for your help now to give your word. Help each of us, help me, Father, to be teachable from your word alone, through the Holy Spirit teaching us, Lord. Father, be with us this evening as we get into your word and learn. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, as I started going through this, I did the same thing that every man, I believe, stood up here and did. As we started going through these characters of God, and just had to confess, wow, yeah, I'm not there. You know, who of us are? But we are being sanctified. We are hopefully moving from immaturity to maturity through these different trials and the different experiences we're going through. The Lord's allowing us to go through tough times, through trials, to teach us. And the one thing we do know about God is he's pure. He's perfect, absolutely perfect. So I use the letters perfect to point out who he is. God is perfect, he's unchanging, unsoiled. He's righteous, and he's eternal. God is absolutely unchanging and unchangeable. That means if you have a substance, some sort of water, maybe a poor example, but pure water, if you add anything to it, food coloring, anything, it's no longer pure. And God's not like that. He's absolutely pure. There can be nothing added to him. There's nothing he needs. He's absolutely pure. He needs nothing to make him any better than he already is. Tozer said this best. Tozer said, to say that God is immutable, unchangeable, is to say that he never differs from himself. The concept of a growing or developing God is not found in the scriptures. It seems to me impossible to think of God as varying from himself in any way. I think that was very well said. I couldn't paraphrase that. And Tozer goes on to say, God cannot change for the better, since he is perfectly holy. He has never been less holy than he is and has always been. Neither can God change for the worse. Any deterioration within the unspeakable holy nature of God is impossible. Indeed, I believe it impossible even to think of such a thing. For the moment we attempt to do so, the object about which we are thinking is no longer God, but something else, and someone less than he. I think that was very well said. So he's unchangeable. He's absolutely perfect. And sometimes we make the mistake that somehow he needs us to perform some work. Yet we'll be reminded through this study, he uses us to perform his work. We are used by him. In Malachi 3:6, the Lord says about himself, for I am the Lord, I change not. He said to Moses, when he met Moses out in the wilderness, when Moses says, who shall I say sent me? He said something very profound, something we can comprehend, but we can't really grasp it. He said, I am that I am. I just can't wrap my head around. It's like trying to think of a one-ended stick. I am that I am. The more you think about it, the deeper it goes. He's always been. He's just always been. So thinking of having the character of God, having a godly character of purity, it's good to contrast us with who he is. So in contrast, we're always changing. Like I said earlier, hopefully we're changing for the better. Hopefully we're changing and becoming more mature in the word and not going away from it. So hopefully we're going from good to better, from better, we're always going from good to better or from better to worse, from immaturity to maturity, and especially, and I hope for all of us eventually in this room, I hope that we all can say the same thing the person who wrote Amazing Grace said. I was blind, but now I see. We hope that everyone in the room reaches that. Say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That came up this morning, and it's coming up now because I'm guilty of this. You know, before becoming a believer, before being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, I was setting my own way. You've all heard the story, and I'm going to say it in a different way, but you'll understand what it means. Is the story goes like this. One farmer goes to another farmer's house, and he looks on the side of the barn, and he sees all these bullseyes. And in each bullseye, exactly in the center, is an arrow. And he is just completely impressed. And he says to the other farmer, he says, wow, I'm really impressed. Who did that? And the guy says, well, it's the boy next door. I let him use the side of my barn for target practice. He says, well, this guy, he's really good. He hit the bullseye every single time. And the farmer chuckled and laughed at him and said, well, let me explain how he did it. This young man shoots the side of my barn, and then he goes up to the barn, and he paints a bullseye around the arrow. And that's a great illustration. That's the illustration of how I was when I was an unbeliever. I completely did not believe in God. And that is, before being saved, we created our very own God or idol. A God that was okay with our own ways. We painted the bullseye around whatever choice we made so that it was right in our own eye. And I love what Morali said this morning. We've got to be careful with the Lord's Supper. I'll make an idol out of that. But to constantly be in focus on who Jesus Christ is, what he did on the cross for us. So developing godly character, coming up with a practical way to do that. And that's when the Lord spoke to my heart and says, hey, you're not going to do it. It's going to be me. You know, I'm going to do that through the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And no doubt, because we know that Timothy's grandmother taught him, he may have remembered Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. That means we have to be close to the word. That's how we stay pure. We have a relationship with God's word. And when I became saved, God reached out to me and created a relationship with him, a new relationship. I was a new creation, a new creature that could have a relationship with him. And when we have a new relationship with the word, we have a new relationship with Jesus Christ through the word, we also have a new relationship with our sin. Now we're aware of it. We're sensitive to it. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Emily and I looked at this last week for a little while. The whole chapter, you should read it. It's really, really great. But this particular verse at the end, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. That glory to glory, Emily and I looked at that for quite a while this week, and it's a great study. We won't take it on here, but the first glory is the Old Testament to the better glory, the grace of God, the gospel is the second glory in this. So from glory to glory. But we're being transformed into the same image. And by the Spirit of the Lord. It's Him that's doing it, not us. Our part is obedience. Our part is obeying. Obeying the gospel. Obeying the word. Being in the word. Can obey it if you're not in it. Romans 16:20-23. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sins, have become obedient with the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to a lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I like that verse where it says, for which you are now ashamed. You know, I can look back at my life and say, wow, yes, there's a lot of stuff back there that I'm ashamed of now. So before I was blind, now I see. I didn't even know there was a target. It was God's target. And another word for target is law, or the Torah is considered the law. But a better definition of Torah would be a direction or a guide, a tutor leading you to somewhere. And in Galatians 3:23-26 clearly explains the law being our schoolmaster leading us to Christ. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. So the Torah was there to show us our sinfulness, that we all fall short. And that's where that awesome study in 2 Corinthians 3:18 comes in. The law was that written on stone, Paul describes in chapter 3. And then Christ comes and gives us grace. And they're both the glory of God, but the second glory is so much more glorious. Most of you know that me and the kids have been in the marksmanship in the past probably just over a year now. And so I thought this would be a good example of our walk with Christ. Because there's a lot of stuff in marksmanship that resembles how we walk with Christ. We're introduced to it. But like I said earlier, the target of God was nowhere in sight. I was completely blind to it in my darkness. And then it was illuminated. And I saw I was missing it completely. So this is a great contrast to the unchanging God versus us that are changing. When we first started, I'll pick up my kids a little bit. Over a year ago, we went down to the range. Like anything else, you're really nervous. You're intimidated by all the new things, the sounds, the smells. We put a target up, and Nicholas can laugh. This is what we get. Completely miss. We still haven't learned the fundamentals. We haven't learned the basics, kind of like the milk that Scripture describes. So we learned this process, and I know, Hans taught us a lot about sighting in a rifle. I'm not if he's still here. Yeah, there you are. So he taught us a lot that one time we're out there and on how sighting in a rifle, what that means. So this is what our first target looked like. Well, after a while, we get out there, and we start to get an idea of what we're doing. This is at 25 yards, which is probably the distance here. But this is Abigail's. I won't pick on Nicholas, but this is Abigail's target. she's hitting paper. That's what we call it at the range. When you're hitting paper, when you first start, that's good. When you're just not hitting any paper at all, that's not a good thing. But she's hitting paper, and I pulled this off her wall. Yesterday, she didn't see me do it, but I pulled this off her wall. She put it on her wall because she's proud of it. She said, that's what I did. And on her wall, she has this isn't a real cartridge. It's fake. I'll tell you what we use it for. It's a fake cartridge. They're not called bullets. They're called cartridges. But she has this on her wall. She's proud of it. That reminds me of how when we look back at when we first began, we're ashamed of those things. Nicholas has taken all his first targets down. You will not see his first targets on his wall. They used to be up there. The ones from camp and stuff, he had them on his wall displayed as just proud of his targets. He hit the mark. He's taken them down because the reason is because he's gotten a lot better. And he's got better targets to show. I'm going to show you some video of down at the range. I'm leaving the sound on because I want you to hear all the gunfire going on. Hans knows what I'm talking about. There's stuff going on all around you. What I want you to pay attention to is Abigail and Nicholas when they're actually getting ready to, they're engaging the target. Watch their facial expressions. Watch how they're tuning out all the noise that you're probably just now first time hearing. They're tuning all this stuff out. It reminds me of our walk with Christ. We get all this noise coming in. All this noise. All these different things that are trying to influence our walk with Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, we need to focus on Christ, tune those things out, get tunnel vision, a good form of tunnel vision, to focus on Him. The other thing important about the marksmanship, which is very equivalent to our walk with Christ, is being consistent. It's in almost every sport. Chloe knows it in archery. You're taught same thing, same motion, every single time. Exact same place on the chin when you pull the string back. Consistency. Bowling. You have to be consistent. When you get a strike, you want to do that exact same motion over again on the next one. Name any sport. And golf, same thing. You want that exact same follow-through. In marksmanship, follow-through is also important. When you pull the trigger, you'll see Abigail practicing. We're teaching her one of these videos where she pulls the trigger, but she doesn't let go right away. She pulls it, she holds it. Because if you let go real quick, you kind of jerk the rifle. And that's what this is for. And we'll explain that in just a second. So our walk with Christ, it has to be steadfast and consistent. And that's how marksmanship is. You'll notice Nicholas, we have some close-up pictures. He's got the butt right here, almost exactly the same spot every single time. So you want to be consistent.
It'll be easier if you get one and instead of going, put it up, down, and then twist.
When you're out there, it's so important to listen to instruction and to accept it graciously, especially the safety rules. And so listen to instruction. That's what the Lord does for us. He gives us instructions, and it's for our safety and the safety of those around us. And you can already hear the gunfire. I'm actually thinking about our neighbors across the hall here who we hear their rumbling music. They're going to call the police anytime. So we're kind of sending some noises back there. If that video wasn't clipping, you will have seen something happen in Abigail's face. You'll notice all her muscles suddenly relax, and she opens both eyes before she took the shot. It's really amazing to see. She completely relaxes. And what we were teaching her there was we were focusing on the trigger pull. We're really focusing on keeping a finger off the trigger, and we're focusing on following through, not letting go right away, because you can jerk and Pond knows all about this, but you can actually jerk the rifle a little bit if you're just doing a real quick jerk. But what was amazing is, after a while, you can see all that distraction. You can hear it going on. How many people were watching the guy behind her with the pistol? That thing was pretty dramatic. It had a little flamethrower going out the front. And I've heard that people that go out there that have that, they're probably preloading. That means they're taking these cartridges and reloading them themselves. And they put probably a little bit too much gunpowder in them. There's many, many, many variables down here at the range that can distract you from your shot. That's one of them. There's even different types of gunpowder that goes into these cartridges. There's a gunpowder that burns faster in pistols than in rifles. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing? The reason for that is because in a pistol, that gunpowder needs to burn really quickly to get it out the barrel. Whereas a rifle, it's got, 10 times as further to go. So the gunpowder needs to burn slower to continue the gas to expand to push that projectile out the end. I can go and explain this. So you can see Abigail, just before she takes a shot, she's focused. That's how we should be on the Lord. When it gets the most intense, we really focus on the Lord. We really put our focus on him. I've had that challenge this week on some things going on in my life. There's a lot of noise going on right now, and I need to slow down. I need to go to people with wisdom and ask them for godly wisdom about how to handle certain situations and to remove all the distractions. Flinching is like the old man. It's a natural tendency. When there's a loud bang or there's something that you're anticipating, you're probably going to flinch. Someone strikes close to your face, you're going to flinch in anticipation of something. That's where this comes in. This is the official term is a snap cap. It's also called a dummy round. What we do to train Nicholas, and Abigail hasn't been through the training yet, but through training Nicholas, what we're doing is we take this round, we take this cartridge, and we hide it in the magazine. He has no idea where this thing is. What happens is, as he's going to shoot, he pulls the trigger, nothing happens. But what you'll see is, in this video, you'll see he will jerk. Even though nothing happened, he will jerk. We do that in our natural way. And that can be, we can actually train ourselves not to do that. And again, Hans should be giving this. But I'm sure you train your guys the same way. But so we put this fake round in there. He doesn't know where it's at, so it's coming up. He doesn't know. But you'll see him flinch. If you watch his hat closely, you'll see him jerk. But nothing fires. So the whole point of that is being consistent. You have to be consistent. And there's safety rules. The rules are there for our safety, just like God's rules. There's like his Ten Commandments. When you really look at them, they're there for our safety. They're for our relationships. And the other important thing is, as believers, it's important for us to graciously accept correction. When we first started going here, this was a common scene. A range officer right there with us. And I appreciated that. I wanted the correction. And I told them, I said, if you see something, see anything that we're doing that may be unsafe, let us know. And they just said, oh, yeah, we will. We'll let you know. And they did, and I appreciated that. And that was so important for my children to see me accept correction from them. And we got corrected quite a bit, which is good, because every time we're corrected, like when the Holy Spirit convicts us and we turn from those ways, we should be thankful for that. Say, thank you for that conviction. Thank you for showing me the right way, not the way that I was going. So we constantly got correction. You can see Abigail accepting correction. Yep, I'll do it. Thank you. Because she knows he's there to help. He's there to guide, just like the Holy Spirit does for us. Once again, you're seeing consistency over and over. That's what we learn. And finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. So this is it's a fun sport, just like any other sport. This is where you'll see Nicholas. If you were watching the video, you might have noticed this stays almost exactly the same spot every single time. He's found that point, and every single time comes right down on it. And what's really important is right here, a straight line straight through here. Because even scopes, you may not believe it, but even scopes have some parallax. This one has a parallax adjuster, matter of fact, that we can adjust for it, so there is no parallax whatsoever. But some scopes do have a little bit of parallax depending on the distance. So year later, this is last year. This is last year at 25 yards. This is this year. This is how Nicholas and I, we are shooting now from about a year ago when we first started. That target is like this. Matter of fact, this is one of them. It's about that. It's further than that. If you look back there, that wall, it's further than that right there. It is 50 yards away, which is about 150 feet away. And now they're hitting something the size of a dime. And that's why when we start out in our walk and we're doing this, we can get really discouraged. We get very discouraged. And the Lord, he comes around, he sends through Paul and everyone else, he sends them to encourage us. And eventually we start getting closer to the mark. We'll never get it exactly right. We're not perfect or pure like God, but we're being sanctified. We're getting closer and closer. Hopefully we are. And let me make a claim to every one of you. Every one of you in here, Roy, Sam, even Anjali, could shoot like this right now. Anjali's face, what? Yep. And let me tell you how. If you brought that target right up to you, right here, and put the rifle right there, you would be able to do this every single time because you're close to it. It's like being close to the Word. The closer you are to the Word, the easier it is to hit the target. And that's why I said every one of us could do that. Even that close, we still wouldn't be exact. We'd still miss the mark every now and then. But the closer we are to the target, the easier it is to be on the mark. So here it is. So in our walk, we find a year later, now we're hitting the mark pretty good. We think we're hitting the mark pretty good. And this is where God comes along, and he encourages those who are still not hitting the mark, and he reminds those who think they're hitting the mark consistently where they used to be. And this is Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of the great love of us, for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved. So we were all there. And then if we become too prideful, the Holy Spirit reminds us what we used to be, who we once were. And sometimes it's a good thing to be ashamed of this and want to take it down because we've matured. And we said, well, I used to be like that. You know, we don't want to keep making a shrine of what we used to be. We do want to take those things down off the wall and show and be a good witness to people with who we are today. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's his work. So in Romans 10:1, we go back to what we had read earlier in Isaiah 53:6. You know, we were creating our own way. We were creating our own way. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And we were talking about this morning, weren't we? About the zeal of the Sadducees and the Pharisees coming to Jesus with all their knowledge and wisdom, and they were creating their own righteousness. but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And in Romans 10:16, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? That came up this morning. Who has believed our report? And 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's obeying the gospel. Obeying is another form of yielding to, no longer going our own way, but trusting what he's already done for us. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So we need to obey. That's how we start to walk in purity. We obey his word. We obey the Holy Spirit when he calls us to do something. It's obedience to him. It's yielding to him. Obey, yield to his ways versus our ways. So what does obey the gospel mean? Well, obey is the offering salvation is given. It's believed in, trusting in him. And then we find insurance in it. We're insured with it. And, of course, yielding to his ways versus our own. And the offer is, you know, Jesus Christ says, if I am lifted up from earth, will draw all peoples to myself. It's available to everybody, anyone who wills. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So there's the offer. Although God offers the free gifts of salvation to all, not all are going to come. Not all are going to obey the gospel and come. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And when we believe, we accept him. We take him into our hearts. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we get the insurance. Insure means that this is a promise. This is sealed. This is the unchangeable God making a deal with us that he's not going to break. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. That's when God seals something, it's sealed. It's not coming undone. And also for assurance, we read in John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Do I believe these words of Jesus Christ? And you know, Jesus is speaking these words. Yield, these are different yield signs from all over the world. It simply means we're setting aside our ways for the ways of someone else. We're yielding to them. And we should yield to God. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. This is the gospel. This is where Paul made it clear. This is what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Am I yielding to what Christ Jesus did for me on the cross? Yeah, definitely. I hope the rest of us are too. And the verse we often go to when we're speaking to people who may be failing in their assurance in their salvation, 1 John 5:13, we read, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So, am I yielding to what Christ Jesus did on the cross, or am I still drawing my own targets around my ways? You know, sometimes we can find ourselves guilty of doing that. You know, God's okay with this. I can still do these things. He's okay with it. So we're basically shooting and then drawing a bullseye around it, saying, God, you know, this is hitting the target. And this came up when we were thinking about, you know, Emily got the book by Nabil, who the book is Seeking Allah and Finding Jesus. And I thought about this verse where, you know, especially where it says, but Isaiah is very bold and says, "I found those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me." And we read in the Bill's book, and he's talking about how he's searching for Allah, but who turns up instead? Jesus Christ, to save him. Out of all these characteristics, all these characters, godly characters have been going through, I was thinking about, it's actually in the hymn 397. And it's interesting, one of our brothers actually picked the same author, Kirkpatrick, who wrote one of the other songs we sang this morning. I was looking for the title on the other page, but, "Oh, to be like thee." That's what this whole study is about, us becoming more like him, our image becoming like his image. And the words go, "To be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. To be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. To be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling. Fit me for life in heaven above." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your precious and gracious and just for your majesty, Father, your all in all, for your Son Jesus Christ, for his amazing sacrifice for me, for each of us, Lord. Help us to really get in your word, Father, and really get near to you through your word. Help us to remember we can't be perfect without you, Father. We can't look at these laws and say, "I can do it, and I can do it perfectly and earn my way." We just can't do that, Father. We thank you that you sent your Son, Father, who died for my sins, died for our sins, Lord. May we continue to share his love, your love with everyone else. Help us to allow you to work through us, Lord, because we know that you are pure, you're perfect, and loving, Father. Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching. And help us to all take something away that you have taught us today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.